All right, good morning, church. If you are confused, because didn't we just last week vote for a new pastor? And I am not Jimmy Carter, I'm sorry. Jimmy really wishes he could be here, but you can imagine there's a lot of complexities from moving from Kentucky down here to Atlanta. He will be with us, I think, the second Sunday of March. So we're going to continue the series we started a few weeks ago as we walk through the life of a man named Peter. Some significant moments in the life of Peter. And one of the reasons I wanted us to pause and just look at Peter is because how normal of a person he is. Sometimes in our mind, when we read about people in the Bible, we think of them as like different, something we can't relate to. But Peter, he's just like us. We said last week he wasn't somebody and he wasn't a nobody. He was just like everybody. He had a job. He had a family. He's one of the only apostles that we know talks about his mother-in-law in a good way, right? He's just a regular person, but Peter had this thing inside of him that set him apart. And you'll see in these moments, especially the first few weeks as we look at the life of Peter, that he is beginning to understand more and more of who Jesus is. And often these little marking moments in his life are giving Peter a better view of who Jesus is, and that's our goal, to see Jesus more clearly today than we did when we first, you know, walked into this room. But we said the thing that set Peter apart was that he was willing to follow Jesus even when it was expensive, even when it cost him. And we said last week that Jesus is still looking for people who are willing to follow him no matter the cost. He's still looking for people who are willing to step out of the boat and follow him. And this morning, we're going to look at another one of these moments in Peter's life where he chooses to follow Jesus in a difficult circumstance. In fact, we're going to look at a moment when Peter and the disciples found themselves in the middle of a storm. And like I said, I think one of the reasons I like Peter is I kind of relate to being on the water. I wasn't, like my family didn't have a boat growing up, but I grew up on the coast. I spent a lot of time out, you know, on the beaches of St. Simons. It's called Brunswick, Georgia. It's coastal Georgia. It's way down south. Tons and tons of bugs, tons and tons of heat, right? But one of the things that's unique about my hometown is every year we have a season that's called hurricane season. Which is crazy, right? Why would you live in a town that you're like, oh, it's hurricane season? We just kind of get used to hearing that these storms are coming. And it's always at the beginning of the school year, and you know the hurricanes are going to come. They haven't made a direct hit on my hometown, but they would come by all the time. In fact, in 2004, which I think was the last hurricane season I weathered down there in Brunswick, in September of that month, we had 3 hurricane scares in that 1 month. Right? And so as a kid growing up, whenever my parents' TV was on, if it wasn't on sports or whatever Law and Order my parents were watching, right? If it wasn't that, it was turned to one channel. And I don't know if this still exists, if people still do this, but as a kid, every TV and every school and everyone's house and every restaurant, it was turned to the weather channel. Like, we were people who watched the weather and like studied it all the time. And most of the time on the old school weather channel, it would play gentle like jazz music to like calm you down and listen to what they were talking about. But then every now and then it would get real dramatic, like real cinematic music, and they would change their ads. And the ads would pop up on the screen and it would say, when it matters most, who do you trust in the storm? And that meant a storm is coming. Get ready, a storm is making its way and it might affect your town. You're right on the coast. You could be wiped off the earth if this storm makes it to your hometown. So when it really matters, who do you trust in the storm? And for me as a kid, there was only one weather channel person, one meteorologist that I trusted. He was like a hero of mine when I was a kid. And I don't know if y'all have heard of him before. Maybe you have, but his name was Jim Cantore. You guys know Jim Cantore? So here's a picture of Jim. Yeah. I love Jim Cantore. He was really cool. He kind of had like a Indiana Jones, like, I'm going to break the rules as I report about the weather. But the thing that made him unique on all the weather channel, like who are you going to trust in the storm when it really matters? What made Jim Cantore different was he rarely ever looked like this. Like, you never saw him like this. Most of the time when Jim Cantore was on the screens, it looked like this. Jim Cantore was the guy who they would send out into the storms. He would report in the storm. There's a poor camera guy, and he's got microphones, and he's trying to stay out of the water. Maybe he faked it sometimes. I don't know. I believed him as a kid. And he would go out into the storms, and he would tell you what was coming. So who do we trust growing up when the hurricane season is on us? Man, we trusted Jim Cantore because he would be in the storm with us. And he gained all this confidence. He was a hero for a whole generation of us because he was willing to go into the storm, to ride out the storm with us. And Peter and the disciples in this passage of the scripture we're going to look at this morning, they're going to find themselves in a storm, a real dangerous storm, a physical storm. But church, y'all know this. This morning, we're going to talk not just about physical storms, but we're going to talk about the storms of this life. And we all know what it feels like to be stuck in the middle of a personal hurricane, where it just feels like everything is stacked against you and it all feels unfair. It just feels like the waves are crashing and crashing and you can't get your head above water. The kind of storms where you get the diagnosis and it doesn't sound good. Or the kind of storm where your marriage is just falling apart and you don't know what to do. Or the storm is the job that you loved was suddenly taken from you and you're worried of how you're going to take care of your family. The storms of friendships who were so important, so valuable to you, are suddenly betraying you. We know what it feels like to be in the middle of the storm. And church, the question is, who do you trust in those storms? Where is your focus? Where is your attention? Where does your heart instinctively turn when you find yourself in the storms of life? Peter and the disciples, they find their answer to that question in this passage. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. We're going to start in verse 22. And this moment that's about to occur happens immediately after an incredible miracle. Jesus is teaching on a hill. Crowds of people gather to hear him because they want to hear the words of Christ. And the people get hungry and Jesus performs this miracle. We call it the feeding of the 5,000. He feeds people miraculously. It's an amazing moment. What's about to happen happens immediately after Jesus feeds the 5,000. So verse 22 says this: immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and to go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After dismissing the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Well into the night, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat was already some distance from land, battered by the waves because the wind was against them. Jesus performed this miracle and told his closest followers, I want you to get in this boat and I want you to go to a specific place. And the place that Jesus sent them was in the middle of a storm. And church, this is important because sometimes God is the one who sends you into your storms. The truth of the scripture, and we'll see in just a moment as we look at an Old Testament book, is it's not as safe and as easy as we want it to be. There are times in our life where the storms that we are in are an assignment from God. Jesus told the disciples to get in the boat. He told them where to go, and they found themselves in a storm, not because they disobeyed God, but because they obeyed him. There are times in your life God is working on you and in you and through you and your family when you find yourselves in those storms. They obeyed Jesus, and they ended up in the storm. But it is also true, church, that sometimes we send ourselves into the storm. Like sometimes the storm that makes our life feel like it's falling apart is a consequence of the decisions that we have made. We will all find ourselves in storms of life, sometimes because God sends us to them, sometimes because we make the choices that cause the conditions. But we will all be in a storm. And the disciples find themselves in the middle of one right now. Verse 25, so Jesus, he came walking on the sea very early in the morning. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. I love seeing the disciples as real people. They're in a boat. The storm's all around them. The wind is against them. The waves are large. And they see a person walking on the water, and people don't walk on water, and they're terrified. Right? They're scared of the storm, and they're scared of what this means. This has to be a ghost. What could it possibly be? And then Jesus speaks to them in the middle of the storm. Verse 27, it says, immediately, they cried out in fear. Immediately, Jesus spoke to them. Have courage. It's I. It is I. It is me. Don't be afraid. Peter says, Lord, if it's you, Peter answered him, command me to come out on the water. He said, come. Climbing out of the boat, Peter started walking on the water and he came towards Jesus. This is Peter being Peter. Everyone's afraid. Everyone's on the boat. The fear of the waves are real, and now there's a spiritual fear. What is this person walking on the water? And Jesus says, hey, it's me. It's Jesus. Peter says, man, I don't know what to do. I just got to hear from you. Like, if you are Jesus, tell me what to do and I'll do it. Peter was willing to follow Jesus no matter the cost, even if it meant jumping out of the boat into the raging seas. He says, Jesus, I got to hear you. In the storm we're in right now, you got to talk to me. I don't know what to do. Jesus tells him, Peter, step out. Peter steps out on the water. He starts walking towards Jesus. And then verse 30 tells us this. But when he saw the strength of the wind, he was afraid and he began to sink and he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reached out his hand. He caught hold of him and he said, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Peter's listening. He steps out of the boat. He's got his eyes on Jesus in the middle of the storm. He's focused on him. And then all of a sudden he shifts his focus from the person of Jesus to the distractions of the storm. Right? And we know this, followers of Jesus, how easy is it for us to make that same mistake? Like when our lives start to feel like they're uncontrollable and unmanageable, how easy is it for us to take our focus off of the person of Jesus and to look at the circumstances or the distractions that we find ourselves in? And when the distractions take Peter's focus, that's when he begins to sink. Right? The storm wasn't what sank Peter. It was the distractions that tried to pull him under. And for so many of us, when we find ourselves in that storm, we choose to chase distractions instead of choosing to focus on Jesus. Peter starts to sink. He goes under the water. He cries out, Jesus, save me. Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reaches his hand out. He grabs Peter and he pulls him back up. And Peter learned his answer. Who do you trust in the storm? For Peter, he trusts Jesus. He's the one who told him to get out of the boat. He's the one who he called out to, Lord, save me. And Jesus pulls him from the water. He takes him back into the boat. And then something unique happens. Verse 32, when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those in the boat, they worshiped him. They worshiped Jesus. And they said, truly, you are the Son of God. And that may not seem like a big deal to all of us today, but this moment where the disciples worship Jesus, this is the very first time in the scripture that the disciples worship him, where they give him the praise that is set aside only for God. See, culturally and religiously, based on the Mosaic laws for Jewish people at this time, you don't worship people. It doesn't matter what they've done or who they are. You don't worship priests or rabbis or teachers or miracle workers or prophets. You don't worship people. Worship is set aside for God and God alone. And they've seen Jesus do incredible things. By this time in their journey with Jesus, they've seen him feed the 5,000. It just happened. They've seen that miracle. Peter saw Jesus heal his mother-in-law. They've seen Jesus bring a man's daughter back to life. They've seen all of the miracles, and they never worshiped him and those miracles, but in this moment, they do. And the question is, why? Why is this different? Are they all worshiping him just because he saved Peter? Are they all worshiping him because he like calmed the seas and the storms they were in? Why did they choose to worship in this moment? And to understand why, this is the moment. They begin to see him more clearly. Peter, in the first week, he bowed down to Jesus. This week, he's leading people to worship him. He's beginning to get a better idea of who this Jesus truly is. And to understand why they worship him, we've got to go all the way back to the Old Testament, to a book called Job. In fact, we're going to look in Job chapter 9, if you want to follow along with me. Job chapter 9, where a man named Job finds his life in shambles. The book of Job, like I said, is kind of a dangerous book because it's real and it's authentic and it talks about real experiences that people have. Job was a man who has lost everything. His life is in the middle of a storm. His kids have died tragically. It's awful. His wife is turning on him. His relationships are falling apart. All of his like resources and wealth has been taken from him. His health is taken from him. Everything a person can lose, Job has lost. And the storm that Job finds himself in is not one that he caused. It's one that God allowed to happen to him. And all throughout the book, Job is trying to understand, God, why would you allow these things to happen in my life? He speaks back and forth to God. He speaks back and forth to his friends. In the middle of that storm, his friends come to him. And they say, Job, all this suffering, all this pain, all this loss, the storm you feel like you're drowning in, this is all your fault. You know that, right? You must have done something. Like, if you make bad choices, there will be bad consequences. And if you will just confess to God what you did, then maybe all this will end. And Job was like, man, that's not the case. Sometimes God sends you into the storms and you may never know why. And Job is struggling. What do I do with this? How is any of this happening? How can I possibly respond? And in Job 9, he speaks to his friend and he speaks to God, and God made sure this was inspired to be in our scripture so we can hear this tension as well. Job 9 verse 1, Job answers, yes, I know what you said is true, that if you sin against God, there will be consequences. I know that is true, but how can a person be justified before God? I didn't do anything that his friends are accusing him of. How can I ever be justified before God? If one wanted to take him to court, if one wanted to take God to court, he could not answer God once in 1,000 times. God is wise and all powerful, and who has opposed him and come out unharmed? He's saying, like, I don't know what to do. It's unfair. And oftentimes that's what it feels like in the storms. It just feels unfair. And Job says, if I could take God to court, like, what could I prove? He's all wise. He's all powerful. Job understands that God is good, even if he can't understand why these things are happening to him. But he's like, he's not a man. I can't know him. I don't have a relationship with him. I can't, like, speak to him and justify myself before him. I'm helpless in this moment. And then he goes on to describe how God is so different from us. And he starts to list things that only God can do. He says, God, he removes mountains without their knowledge, overturning them in his anger. He shakes the earth from its place so that the pillars tremble. He commands the sun not to shine. He seals off the stars. He alone stretches out the heavens, and God alone treads on the waves of the sea. Job said, how can I ever respond to God? He's so different. He's so outside of my understanding. Here's the things only God can do, and one of the things that only God can do is to walk on the waves of the sea. Church, the reason that the disciples chose to worship Jesus or worship Jesus in Matthew 14 is because God alone walks on the sea. Jewish people would only worship God, and they are beginning to see this man, Jesus. He's more than a miracle worker. He's more than just a teacher. He's more than like a moral philosopher. He is something different. And if only God can walk on the sea, here comes Jesus walking on the sea, and they say, we have to worship him. That is something only God could do. Job is in the middle of the storm saying, I can't even possibly relate or to understand God as his world is collapsing all around him. And he ends Job chapter 9 with a plea. He's like yearning for something. Verse 32 of Job 9, he says, for God, he is not a man like me that I can answer him. Can't know him. I can't speak to him. I can't have that kind of relationship with him. We can't take each other to court. Job says in verse 33, there is no mediator between us to lay his hand on both of us. Job's like, I need someone to stand in between me and God because he's all good. I know I'm not. I don't understand what's happening, and I don't have anyone to help me. I need this mediator between us to let him take his rod away from me so his terror will no longer frighten me. And then I would speak, and I wouldn't fear him. But that's not the case because I am on my own. Job is a real person who's got real fears and real struggles. And he's like, what can I do? I need someone to stand in between God and me so I can speak to him and know him so there can be this relationship. I need that mediator. But Job says, I am totally on my own. And this prayer for a mediator, for the God who can only walk on the seas, this prayer in Job 9 is what is answered in Matthew 14. When Jesus walks across the sea, check this out. This is from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Paul writes about Jesus and who he is. 1 Timothy 2:5, for there was one God and there was one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself for a ransom for all at the proper time. Jesus was the mediator that Job was longing for. Jesus is the one who stands in between me, a broken, sinful, fallen man, and a holy and a perfect God who allows me to have a relationship with the King of Kings. He gave his life as a ransom so that you and I could be saved and we could approach the throne of glory with boldness. Like, it's the mediator Job was longing for was fulfilled in the person of Jesus. And this mediator that he asked for, as he talked about his life falling apart, this mediator is the same one who can walk on the sea. See, this is what makes Jesus so incredible, church. Sometimes God sends us into storms. Sometimes we send ourselves into storms. But if you know Jesus, if you've had that relationship with him, Peter spent time getting to know him. Jesus doesn't watch you go through your storm safe on the beach. Jesus meets us in the storm. The mediator that Job was longing for was the one who could walk on the seas, and Jesus met the disciples in the middle of the storms. Job cried out, "I am all alone. I need a mediator." Peter cries out, "Lord, save me." And that mediator reached his hand down and grabbed Peter and pulled him back into the boat. That's the Jesus that we worship, church. He meets us in our storms. He walks upon the waves so we don't go through the storms alone. He mediates on our behalf. He stands in between us and God so we can confidently cry out, "Lord, save me," and have that relationship with him. And Peter in this moment is learning more and more of who Jesus truly is. And the Bible goes on in different places to describe why Jesus is so unique. In the book of Hebrews, it describes how Jesus is a better prophet and a better priest. He's a better sacrifice. He's the one who can restore us to God because he is just like us. He's 100% man and 100% God. So we have a high priest who knows what it's like to be one of us, to walk through the storms. He's also 100% God, the only one who can walk on the waves. And this hope we have that Jesus intercedes on our behalf, it's powerful. It's something our souls, your souls, desperately need. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 says it this way: "Followers of Jesus, we have this hope as an anchor for our soul that's firm and secure. And it enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain." That Jesus is hope that we have, that Jesus is the one who's completely man and completely God, the one who was the mediator Job longed for, who could walk on the waves but also could understand and relate to us, have a relationship with us, that Jesus, he is our anchor. He's the anchor for our soul. When you find yourself in storms, and all of us will, we cannot avoid it. When you find yourself in storms, the anchor is the thing that holds you steady when everything else around you is chaotic. Right? Storms don't give us anchors. Storms often reveal our anchors. And we can often see, what are we putting our hope in when our life starts to fall apart? We're chasing after distractions, hoping we can ignore it. Are we chasing after the addiction just to numb the pain? Are we chasing after relationships because we think it will make us feel full? Are we chasing after our jobs because we think if we can control everything, we can ignore the chaos? Or are we holding on to the anchor that is firm and secure, the hope that we have in Jesus? He is our anchor. We hold on to him. If you're a follower of Jesus, you have an anchor that is stronger than any storm that you will face, that is stronger than any waves that you will experience. And your job in the middle of those storms is to hold on to your anchor. And this Jesus is the one who meets us in the storm to be our anchor so we can have hope when everything around us is falling apart. And if that's our goal, that's what we're supposed to do, church, in the storms. We hold on to Jesus, the anchor for our hope, the anchor for our souls. What does that look like? What does it look like? I mean, sometimes it sounds so simple, and we like lose sight of how incredible it is to be a part of a body of believers, to celebrate God, to pursue him. But we follow the disciples' example in this moment. We do the things they did when we find ourselves in a storm. And let me tell you what I mean. So if you find yourself in the middle of the storm, what do? You choose to gather in the storm. The disciples were all together in the boat. Jesus sent them out into that storm. Everything is chaotic and terrifying around them, but they were together in the boat. And maybe the storm wasn't going to sink that ship, but I guarantee you if they were isolated, they would have drowned. You jump out of a boat, you try to swim through the storm on your own. There's no hope in that moment. They were together in the storm. And there's something inside of us that when we feel like our life is falling apart, we feel this need to isolate, to draw away from places like this, from churches and groups and our families and our friends. We start to say, like, I don't want people to pity me. So you try to weather your storm on your own, but that's not the way it's supposed to be. The disciples were together in that storm. We have to choose to gather in the storms. Sometimes those sins or those failures or those storms in our lives, they raise up so much shame in us that we choose to walk away from the people who love us most, from the body of believers who give us hope and who give us strength, and that's not the way it's supposed to be. And I can tell you this, church, DBC, I love us for a whole lot of reasons, but we are a church that is committed to help people weather their storms by gathering together. Every night of the week, every single night of the week at our campus, we have recovery programs. Sometimes two different recovery programs that meet at the same time in different parts around the campus. Listen, if you're here today and you are in the storm of addictions or hurts, bad habits or hangups that you cannot escape from, we have groups of people that will help you. They will gather with you. Don't go through that storm alone. You know, in the past 8 months, I've got to spend more and more time with a ministry that we call Grief Share. If you haven't heard about Grief Share, Miss Irene, who's an incredible lady who we're all praying for right now, she's having some illnesses. She leads this ministry to help people who have lost family members. And if you've ever lost a loved one, a husband or a wife or a child, and you know what that storm feels like, it's an overwhelming weight that you feel like you cannot carry on your own. And you can't. You need other people. And Miss Irene and the Grief Share program, they meet every Tuesday. And they sit around and let people know they're not alone. We gather in the storm. That's what God wants us to do. We don't do this alone. Sometimes when we sin and we mess up, we start to think God doesn't want anything to do with me anymore. We run away from church in moments like this. But don't let that fear, that shame isolate you from gathering. We are a church that is open to everyone. Doesn't matter what your sin or your background or your struggle is, we gather together. Don't weather the storm alone. Disciples were together and it gave them strength when they found themselves in the storm. What do you do in the storm? You commit to gather, not to isolate. The next thing that they did in this moment, so they are in the boat together, that's great, and then they see Jesus walking and they're terrified. They don't know what to do. They call out and it says immediately Jesus speaks to them. And then Peter says, if you really are Jesus, you got to tell me what to do. In the middle of that storm, Peter was desperate to hear from God. So church, what do? In the middle of the storm, we listen to God. We listen to the words of God. We do everything we can to hear what God has to say to us. Like I said, I know this may sound simple, but like, what does that mean? Every one of you, you have Bibles in your laps. You have Bibles on your phone. There are Bibles underneath the chairs. If you don't have one, take one home. Make that Bible your own. But that is the word of God that he like designed to be given to you in the middle of the storm. Like, who do you trust? You should be chasing after the words of God in that moment. Peter said, I don't know what else to do. All I need you to do, Jesus, is speak to me. And if you've ever been in a storm that was so heavy and so terrifying, you were so desperate, you just say, Jesus, please speak to me. That's what we're supposed to do. We open our Bibles. We don't take it for granted how incredible that miracle is that you can hear from God whenever you need him. In the middle of the storm, we gather together. In the middle of the storm, we listen for God's word. It's our only hope in that moment, just like it was for Peter. And then after they get back on the boat, the disciples, they worship because they are truly understanding who this Jesus is. Church, what do in the storms? We gather and we listen and we worship in the storm. Even when it feels unfair and it feels like you'll never understand why all of the world is against you. Even if it's a storm you made for yourself, we choose to gather and we choose to worship. Even Job knew, God, you are all wise. You're all powerful. I can't understand you. But now we have this hope that is found in Jesus, that even if we can't understand why God has put us in this storm, we know that he is good and we know that he is kind and he know that he loves us, and we choose to worship God even in the harshest, most heartbreaking seasons of our life. And we worship together and we listen to God speak to us together, and we sing those praises that are only for God to him in the midst of the storm. That's how we hold on to our anchor. And the truth is, church, there is no other anchor. You can chase the distractions, you can chase the relationships, you can chase whatever the thing is in your life, but it will get tossed around just like the ship is. The only anchor we have, the only hope we have, is to hold on to Jesus. He's our anchor. He is firm. He is secure. He is what our soul desperately needs. In just a moment, we're going to go into another time of worship. We're going to stand up and we're going to sing. And I'm going to ask you, if you're here this morning and you're in the middle of a storm, you are in the exact right place. Like, you belong here. We gather together in the storm. And I pray this morning as we, you know, read just a short passage from the scripture, I pray you got to hear from God. And if you didn't, because I was a distraction, go home and open the Bible and ignore everything I said and just listen to God. Let him speak to you. He's the only hope that we have in the middle of those storms. And if you're in the storm right now and you're with us, this is your chance to worship. Something powerful happens when God's people get together and we throw our affection and we throw our praise to God. We need each other to help us hold on to that anchor. We need to hear his word to hold on to it. And we worship, hold on to that anchor. And also, if you're here this morning, and maybe you're here for the first time or the first time in a long time, and you would say, man, my life has been nothing but storms. And I've tried, but no one ever calls out. No one ever reaches down into the water. No one ever pulls me out of the water like Peter pulled Jesus out of the water. Church, maybe the reason you're here today is you need to echo the prayer of Peter in your own life. Like the fact that Peter could call out, Jesus, save me, was because Peter had that relationship with Jesus. Look at it again. Back in Matthew chapter 14 again, verse 30. But when Peter saw the strength of the wind and he was afraid and he was beginning to sink, he cries out, Lord, save me. And then immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. Peter began this relationship with Jesus and then he prays a simple prayer. God, just save me. Lord, save me. And then immediately Jesus does. Listen, if you're here this morning and you're still trapped in the storms of the sin that separates you from this holy and a perfect God, if you're still totally spiritually alone because you've never surrendered to Jesus this morning, all of that could change for you by just repeating this prayer of Peter. In honesty and authenticity and desperation, he said, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus did. In the same way, if you pray out, God, I know I'm a sinner. Will you save me? Immediately God will. And I'd love to talk to you about that. If you're here this morning and you want to know what it means to be saved by Jesus like Peter was, I'd love to speak with you. During this last song, I'm going to stand right up here in the front of the room, and I'd love to talk to you. When the room empties out, I'll be standing there as well. We have prayer counselors in the lobby if you'd rather talk to someone else in the lobby. If all that is too uncomfortable, I'll put my phone number up like I've been doing, and you can send me a text message. And I'd love to talk with you, meet up somewhere, to talk about what does it mean to cry out, Lord, save me. That simple prayer is what pulled Peter out of the storm. Maybe you're here this morning and it's time for you to say, Lord, save me. If that's you during this last song, I want you to respond however God leads you to respond. Followers of Jesus, we're gathered. Let's hear God speak to us and let's worship together. If you're in the midst of a storm and you just want prayer, man, I'd love to pray with you. Pastors would love to pray with you. Prayer counsel, people, this is what we exist for, to help people through the storms. So I'm gonna pray, we're gonna stand up, we're gonna worship, and I want you to respond, however God leads you to respond. Church, let's pray. Father God, we are so grateful for these moments in the scripture where we get to see people be people. Of course, Peter was distracted when he was standing on the waves of a storm. I would be distracted, we all would. But Jesus, thank you for being the God who doesn't watch from the beach. Thank you for being the God who walks across the seas and meets us in our storms. So when we get distracted and when we start to sink, we can just cry out to you, Lord, save me. And you're faithful and you're good and you do. I thank you for this gift of Jesus, the mediator who stands in between us and you, fully man, fully God, the great high priest, the anchor for our souls. And God, I pray that we would just choose to cling onto that anchor in the middle of the storms. God, so many of us are in those storms right now. We know it. So God, I pray you'd give us the courage to gather, to find groups of followers who have gone through the same kinds of storms so we don't have to weather these storms alone. God, I pray we would be desperate to hear you speak. The way Peter was on the boat, I gotta hear from you, Jesus. I don't know what to do. Put that desperation in all of our hearts, God. We need to hear from you, not from people, not from, you know, professional Christians with microphones. God, we want to hear from you. And God, we choose to worship you because we know even if we can't understand why we're in this storm, we know that you are good and you are kind, that you are wise, that you are all powerful. And so God, we choose to worship. And Father, for those of us who are here this morning, who are in the middle of the storms or heading into the storms or leaving the storms behind, God, I pray you would just lead us to respond in the way that honors and glorifies you. If there's anyone here, God, who just needs to pray out, Jesus, save me, and let today be the day they finally call out to you. Thank you, Jesus, for being the mediator who immediately speaks and who immediately saves. And Jesus, we acknowledge that all the things we do, songs we sing, all the words we speak, God, none of this would matter if it wasn't for Jesus and the work that he did on the cross and the grave that he left behind. So Jesus, it's in your name, your power that we pray. Amen. Stand, you respond how God leads.